Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Dr. Brandi Stankovic, and today's topic is all about diversity, inclusion, and cultural competency. And I feel like we have the subject matter expert of all subject matter experts with us here today, and that's Mr. Ronaldo Hardy. So hello, Ronaldo.
Hey, Brandi. So glad to be here.
I'm excited that he's here as well. So we're going to dig right into our topic. So when it comes to the strategic hot box, when it comes to diversity, as you know, we love to break it down into the three segments, and that's the learn, the love, and the kick ass. And we're going to do that very thing, that thing today. In the learn section, I'm going to set the stage, talk a little bit about diversity in my perspective, what I'm seeing out in the industry, what I'm feeling in my gut and in life. And then in the love section, we're going to hear from the master. We're going to talk about some stories and things that he's been dealing with and the people that he works with in all the places that he goes all over the world. And then in the kickass, we'll give you some tools that you need to start making a difference when it comes to diversity today. So when we have this discussion of inclusion and competency, I really think that diversity, if we start with the value of diversity, diversity really is a powerful opportunity. And I'm saying it and framing it as opportunity because so many institutions do not take advantage or take full advantage of what diversity can do for them. And it could be as minuscule as having like-minded people around you all the time, all the way to, you know, intentionally siloing your organization by a certain demographic. But when it comes to having a bunch of like-minded people, when you do that, you exclude yourself from having the creativity and inspiring those different ideas that can come from having diverse perspectives. And I think that diversity really does attract and retain a more loyal customer. Because let's face it, the world is diverse anymore. We were chatting on the drive here about the fact that we're all just a bunch of mutts anymore, right? We're just mixed up in this beautiful, delicious, just mixed group of human beings. And of course, that differs depending on where you are listening or watching us today in the globe. However, diversity in general really can be a powerful opportunity for your organization or just in general for your life. It leads to productivity. It can lead to your own personal development and growth. And then there's this idea of inclusion. And so it's not just enough to enforce or have diversity because you don't want token diversity either, but it's the idea of being inclusive in language, inclusive in action, inclusive in policy, and all of those things working together to ensure that diversity is actually being utilized. Because on numbers or on paper, we can say we're diverse or we meet standards of diversity that match our customer base or membership base. But what does that mean? And how are you actually getting in and getting to know the people that work with you and for you and around you to bring out the best in them? A board member recently asked me, I was doing a strategic planning session, and they, in one of our breaks, she kind of came over to me and she goes, "Where do you think the greatest discrimination occurs today in the world? Like in my experience, where do I see discrimination occur?" And that is such a tough question because depending on where I go in the globe, discrimination takes so many forms. But if we look at the United States, for example, it's very regional, right? I could go to different institutions in different parts of the country and they're facing different types of diversity or discrimination. Some places may have a higher concentration of discrimination in women or in gender, or it could be in ethnicity, or it could be in different demographics, such as an aging population. And unfortunately, I do think that in financial institutions where this particular woman was working, the older board member, the aging CEO, a lot of times will get looked or frowned upon just because of that particular demographic that they fit within, as opposed to looking at the fact that they serve 30 or 40 years or the value that they've brought to the institution. And then, of course, we also, what's bringing to light in the United States, which I'm very happy about, although we have a long way to go in this challenge and force, is, of course, homosexuality and transgender and how we can work together to just bring inclusion in all these different aspects. And then there's discrimination in youth, too. So, I mean, it really happens. I swear there's discrimination against people that do CrossFit, although I've been a little guilty of that, mostly because I'm jealous. Let's be real. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to the fact of how we can support and love one another the best that we can. So a couple tips that I have before we turn it over and discuss this with Ronaldo is first to seek out diversity, to intentionally make a point of having this be a part of your life. Understand your market, understand your employees, seek out diverse opinions and demographics and perspectives, and know that you're not always right. I'm not always right. I just said that and it's going to be captured. My employees are forever going to just play that over and over in the office, but it's true, and have those diverse opinions around you. And then have a no tolerance policy. And that's me kind of banging on the table. No tolerance of no baloney can happen at the office. It is not okay. Drive accountability when it comes to discrimination. Drive accountability when it comes to accepting and having inclusion in the office. And then increase your cultural competency. And what I mean by that is an understanding of what it means to be part of different subcultures. Now, those cultures could be driven on age. It could be driven on ethnicity. It could be driven on where a person was born or lived, or their culture at home. It could be driven on just a family values. It could be driven on their religion. There's so many different things that play a role in that. But get to know people, travel, learn, absorb, ask questions, and all of those things will help the employees. And then teach and spread that knowledge will help the employees increase that idea and minimize as much as we can what's called an unconscious bias. And I know several of you that are listening are very familiar with that. But if you aren't, an unconscious bias is having this implicit positive or negative preference towards a certain group of individuals. And it is shaped by your experiences. So you may not even realize it, but you have a natural affinity towards a certain group or individual. And so this unconscious bias towards that group or individual is based on how you've been brought up. And that can work for you or can work against you. And the ways that it can work against you is if you have been brought up in a place where you were not exposed to different diverse opinions, whatever that diversity is based on, then you will be excluding a lot of beautiful ideas and perspectives because you prefer to go down that particular path. So what we want to do is get that unconscious to become more conscious. So be aware of the fact that we might have these biases in place and how we can work through them to make sure that we are utilizing the people around us, or at least supporting and loving them. And the final piece is to challenge the golden rule. You've heard me say it before. Don't do unto others like you want done unto you. Do unto others like they want to be done onto. Learn about people, give to people, accept people and who they are, and allow them to flourish in the people that they want to be and the people that they are and would like to be in the future. And so without further ado, I would like to introduce you to a good friend, a subject matter expert, a total kick butt individual, and that is Ronaldo Hardy. He's the CEO of Southwest Louisiana Credit Union. He also recently started Diversity Solutions, so he's running that organization as well and traveling all over the place talking about many different topics. He's got his bachelor's in business from the University of Louisiana. He's got a master's in HR and leadership development. He's a DE, so shout out to our DEs, but also an expert in enterprise risk management. He is a 2010 runner-up for Q's Next Top Executive. He's on the Research Council for Filene. And you're also a pastor at Love Alive Church, which is a beautiful thing. And I love seeing all of your outreach in that area. But you specialize in building brands and cultures and planning and really creating an innovative environment, energizing young people and building diversity. So thank you for being here, Ronaldo.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
So tell us a little bit about you and your leadership journey.
So that's very interesting. When I think about my leadership journey, I had to think of it from several different directions because, as you mentioned, I'm involved in quite a bit of stuff. People are always like, how do you do all that? I feel like I do one thing many different ways, which is to build people. But, earlier portions of my journey really bring me back to my roots in the church. My dad was a pastor. And as a kid, I just began to accept the fact that I was different. And I became okay with my uniqueness very early. And I think that kind of shaped a leader in me very early on. And in the church, I got a lot of opportunities to start practicing leadership in different areas. And so I thought that was really a good training ground. Because
totally.
When you're in church, it's all volunteers, right? So
right.
You have to find a way to get people excited to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that translated well into the corporate space. I kind of landed in credit unions, which I think everybody has that story of how did I get here? Like, mm-hmm. how did I get into mm-hmm. credit unions? And that was the case with me. I didn't put my application or my resume in at a credit union. Someone else did for me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I randomly got a call one day from a credit union because I was working in call centers at the time. I had spent 2 years in banking. I had worked a year in call centers, and I knew that I wanted to get back into the financial industry. Someone else put my resume in, and when they called, I'm like, where are you calling from?
Come again?
And it was a position in their call center. So that's my credit union story. And from there, I just had a lot of drive and determination to do well and got afforded a lot of experiences in that credit union. And then at 27, back in 2011, I actually moved into a CEO role at Shell Geismar Credit Union. For the past year, I've been at Southwest Louisiana Credit Union as their CEO. So
awesome. So what do you think today diversity means in today's environment?
Well, diversity, so I like to talk about diversity, inclusion, and equity as like a full package, right? Mm-hmm. Because when I think of diversity within itself, diversity really is just the recognition of the differences that people have. So you can really have homogenous groups of people if you sure. look at different characteristics, ethnicity, gender, or any of those different areas, and you can still see diversity within that group based mm-hmm. upon different perspectives, likes and dislikes, things of that nature. Different mindsets can be brought to the table. The reason I like to think of it as a package deal, because when you really move into the inclusion piece, then it takes you a step further in saying that I want to make sure that I create an environment where people feel like they are a part of the experience. Their mm-hmm. voice is recognized, you know,
yes.
and you start looking at groups that are not homogenous. You know, now you are looking a little bit deeper and not just looking at the differences of thoughts or just things that we like and dislike, but you're starting to say, I want to look at the differences from a gender perspective or race or sexual mm-hmm. orientation and make sure I create an environment where those people are included in the experience. And then the equity goes a step further and says that I want to make sure that not only do I hear your voice, but I give you a seat at the table to help drive the strategy of the organization. So I like to look at all three of them, and mm-hmm. it's complex getting organizations to understand that they're really sure. three separate things that work together collectively.
And do some organizations that you work with still resist that?
Yeah, you know, I think that there are organizations that think that they're doing it, you know, to a degree or to an extent, you know, and then you can easily go in and say, well, what about this? And what about that? And you have to help organizations to see that you really do have an issue in this area. And it's not always, you know, sometimes it's within the organization. So making sure that the right mix of staffing exists and making sure that things are built properly so everyone's included. But then it also extends to how we engage, in our case, in the credit union space, the member, you know, mm-hmm. or the consumer, or for some organizations, the customer. How am I reflecting that my organization is inclusive in right. making sure that those people feel valued in the discussion of the organization? So many people feel excited about the fact that they have that diversity policy that was probably right. required way back in yeah. the 80s or something. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, look, I have this policy. I'm like, no, it goes a lot deeper right. than that. So, mm-hmm.
and I think what's interesting there is I've always been a lover, right? Lover yeah. of people and lover of everyone. And only in the last several years have I felt confident enough in my leadership journey or my humanness. Mm-hmm. There's a super technical term for
yeah.
you. That I could stand up and say, this isn't okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been moments in my life as I reflect back where I didn't take a stand and wish that I would have. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a lover, but not necessarily a fighter in moments. Mm-hmm. And so how can you balance that in inclusion?
You know, it's difficult. You know, first it is developing the courage, like you just mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, and when you are in a minority group, whether it's women or it's racially driven or it's sexual orientation or a number of different things, there is this discomfort a lot of times of being the person to speak up and say, I don't feel included, you know, because you automatically believe that there's a stigma that's going to come along with that, you know, and you're taught as you're coming up that in order to be successful, especially in corporate spaces, that it's more valuable for you to figure out how to adapt and assimilate to an environment. And being that person to go against the grain is not always is valued, you know?
Right.
And so you're thinking as a woman, like, I want to make sure that I'm given opportunity here. So let me just work as hard as I can. Let me shut my mouth. Let me not offend anybody instead of stepping up and using that voice. And so there's this balance. I believe that the balance is making sure that you have adequate contribution. Mm-hmm. So making sure you're actually doing the work.
Yeah. So you're walking the walk.
Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't feel included, you know, I don't have a seat at the table. And I look at them and say,
earn it, brother.
Yeah, with the work you're doing, you absolutely should not be given a seat. But if you're doing the work necessary and you see that the organization is not moving in a direction where it's acknowledging, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And that's when you have to speak up and use your voice to bring awareness.
So how can I and the people listening make sure to live a world or help inclusion, help kind of promote that?
Well, you know, I believe that each individual has to use their voice for good. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very simple, but it's going to look different based upon where you are, you know, and especially from an organizational perspective. So if you're in a more frontline role and not in a leadership position, then developing the courage to lead right where you are, the whole idea of adaptive leadership. And I don't know if you've read that book that was written by, I forget the author, but it's a Harvard book. But adaptive leadership says that I can be a leader wherever I am. So being able to recognize that when you see something that's not right, you use your voice, you know, and you speak up, you know, do it respectfully, but make sure that you do engage in conversation. And then when you're in a role of leadership, using your voice for good looks a little different because you have the power to empower and the power to direct. So, you know, a leader needs to then say, how can I empower a culture of candor? Because cultures of candor generally begin to move to a culture of inclusion. And so creating that space where people feel comfortable speaking.
That.
And if you look around a room and you see that everybody in the room looks like you, then as a leader, you have to make sure that you do something about that, that you start addressing it so that you bring those various thoughts to the table.
I love that culture of candor. So it's really like creating transparency then gets the bullshit out on the table so
absolutely.
You can deal with it. So you
absolutely.
Scoop it and get it off. Right?
Like I absolutely believe in that. As a CEO, I always make sure that people who either have a direct reporting relationship to me or indirect understand that they have the power to say how they really feel. You know, a culture of candor can also be respectful, but if people aren't saying what they really feel, it's hurting the organization. It's limiting productivity. It's killing the culture, and we cannot be our very best unless we know how people really think and feel.
It's true. So what pisses you off when it comes to diversity in the world today?
You know, when I think about that, and I just had to do that, right? Like when you think about being pissed off, you know, you want to do something about it. But it really does frustrate me that in 2017, we're still having to work at creating environments where everybody feels like they have equal opportunity in our country, in our corporations, in just all facets of life, you know, and that we haven't gotten there yet. And I know that it isn't always intentional. Some people have the best intentions, but have poor strategy. And that's where someone like me comes in and says, I can help your intentions and get you moving in the right strategic direction. But then there are people that still have the wrong intentions. And trying to work through that can be very frustrating. And so I look forward to a time that, you know, we can say we really move that ball down the road. Like I was excited when we got an African-American president. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be ecstatic to see a woman get that seat because it's going to happen in our lifetime.
Yeah. You know, so. All right. I hope so too. And so one of the things that kind of ticks me off in the world of diversity is sometimes, and we were chatting a little bit about this on the drive-in, that sometimes in an effort to teach or enforce people with a new mindset, we end up excluding the majority by trying to help enlighten the minority. Mm-hmm. And so there of those people that actually do have good intentions, that maybe have that unconscious bias, that are saying, I actually want to be better and I want to include, but I'm of the majority. Mm-hmm. Help me, and then get sometimes discriminated against, and that bothers me. This message needs to be all around a message of love.
Yes, absolutely. You know, one of the things that I tell people is that if you don't want to be stereotyped, you cannot stereotype other people. You know, so I hate being included in groups. You know, That are stereotyped, you know, whether someone is saying all black people do this, or all black men do this, or all young people do this, or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever group I'm in, I'm like, mm-hmm. don't use all, because right. when you use all, like, you literally don't leave any room open for a difference. And mm-hmm. I think that that message fights directly against what we're working on. So, you know, I think that when it's done in the, you know, inverse, where you're then assigning these stereotypes and these broad brush statements to an entire group of people, that it's not right. You know, one of the things that I try to do, especially when speaking on this topic, is, you know, I talk to you specifically about mm-hmm. straight white men who I feel mm-hmm. get like the hard end of the stick when, you know, because it's sure. easy. I can start talking about diversity, inclusion, and equity, and I'm going to get an amen out of Brandy at some point. Because right. I'm going to say something about women, and you're going to be like, amen. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. You know, or I'm going to get an amen out of the minority groups. If mm-hmm. I say something about African Americans or Latinos or any other minority population, I'm going to get an amen at some point. Or, you know, out of LGBTQ, you know, somebody's going to say, yeah, brother, say that, you mm-hmm. know. And sometimes I feel like straight white men in mm-hmm. particular get excluded from the discussion, yep. and that's not right. And when we think about inclusion, it's making sure that at the end of the day, what we're saying is that we want everybody, yes. everybody to be, we want to pot of gumbo, you know, like mm-hmm. I'm from Louisiana. So, you know, when you're making gumbo, you have to include a lot of ingredients to get some great flavor. And so when you think of inclusion, that's what we're saying. Like, let's make sure that everybody's everyone's included so we get the right flavor mm-hmm. in the end.
Because if anything, that's the group that needs to be involved in the discussion.
Yes.
You know, we need to have everyone at the table, as you're saying. And that I believe in that. So thank you for that. So can you share us a funny story, you know, or some craziness that has happened along the way in your journey?
Well, you know, like, I just think when I think funny stories, I always think of my kids. I have 4 children, mm-hmm. and I felt like for a period of time, all I had to do was look at my wife, and she was pregnant. You know,
don't drink the water in Louisiana.
Yeah, I had some kind of power.
Don't look at me. I don't need that.
And so, you know, like, I always think of my kids. So 2 stories actually come to mind, but one kind of reminds me of diversity, inclusion, and equity, and it's with my son, and it really talks about the innocence of a child, right? Mm-hmm. So last year, we were doing these videos at the church for Father's Day. And so the kids were talking through how they were similar to their dads or different, uh-huh. you know. And he starts going through all of these things and reasons why we're the same. And he said, except for one thing, though. He was like, I'm brown and my dad's peach.
You're peach.
Yeah. And so, you know, we just all burst into laughter. And I loved it because of the innocence of a child.
Right.
He's not thinking about
That's
any
so
racial, you know, differences. When
right.
he looks at people, he does see the different shades
sure.
of color.
But it doesn't matter to him.
Yeah, it's really literal. You
oh
know?
My gosh. Before you tell you the story, when all this stuff is, this junk has been happening in this country, I don't yeah. have a better term for that. I sat down with my kids and talked about hate and all of this. And I may have shared this on the podcast, but that we were talking about, like, does it matter? Should you be discriminating? And is it nice to do all these different things? So I asked them, what color is your skin? Mm-hmm. To James and to Andrew. And they're like, tan. What color's your skin? Tan. What color's mommy's skin? White. How is that fair? Like, how is it that my tan didn't work out the same as your tan? Like, oh.
You were like, I got to do something about
that. I got to do something. I got to get back out in the sun or something. So, peach. I like that. You're a beautiful shade of peach.
Yes. Well, my other cool story was with my 2-year-old. And this happened probably about a month or two ago. You may have seen it. So, it's a video that went viral on social media, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So she comes into my room on a Sunday afternoon, and she has like an Anthony Davis unibrow of chocolate and like a full goatee of chocolate. And I'm like, Mila, did you touch the chocolate? No.
No.
I didn't touch it. Are you sure you didn't touch the chocolate? We go through like 3 minutes of dialogue, and this child, who should one day be an attorney because she could not be broken, she stood on her story.
No.
Literally, every time I would get close to getting to the fact that she did it, she would change the subject. She'd say, oh, it's on the pad. Yeah. 2 years old. So
oh my goodness.
My kids have the
your
best
hands,
story.
Your hands are full.
Absolutely.
Can you leave our listeners with a bold action item or takeaway?
You know, I think that going back to what I said earlier is use your voice for good, you know, and I wanted to, you know, I think that sometimes we overcomplicate, especially this type of work. We overcomplicate it and we think that we have to have all of the right answers. We have to, it has to be like magic where we just, you know, snap our fingers and everything changes. And the biggest thing that you can do is lend your voice, you know, and I was actually doing an exercise. I need to be able to talk. What's exercise, right? Exercise. I was doing an exercise at CUNA Management School where I actually created this tension based upon differences. And there was a group that was benefiting from what I was doing and one that was not. And there was an individual at the end that said, I saw what you were doing to the other group and it felt wrong to me. She said, but I didn't speak up because I was afraid that if I did, that you would make me change spots with them. And I didn't want to endure what they were enduring. And how many times in our organizations have we not spoken up because we were afraid that the heat that someone else was feeling was going to come our way?
Yeah.
I want to encourage people to use their voice for good. If you see something wrong, change it.
Love it. And if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Well, you can visit our website, diversitysolutions.com. That diversity is with a C, not an S. Or you can email me directly at RinaldoH@diversitysolutions.com.
Thank you so much for being here, Rinaldo. It was fun. The time just flies by in chatting with you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm excited. This was amazing.
Let's head out to the shout out.
Hi, I'm Janelle.
And hi, I'm Junior.
We're from St. Lucia, the Helen of the West.
With the only driving volcano. And you're listening to Brandy on the Strategic Hot Box.
Thank you to my friends in St. Lucia. Thank you again to Rinaldo. It's an amazing topic here with diversity, and I love spreading some light with that and also spreading some love in the process and just giving you all the tools that you need. So the best way to do that, my favorite time, your favorite time, now it's time to kick some ass. Here's your top five. Number one is to increase your cultural competency. So Rinaldo framed it in the way of just understanding, knowing, getting people together, taking a look at the people around you, seeing if we're all the same, and then get to know people. Know what the differences are. Know how you can make those changes. Understand what's happening. And that way you can then share that knowledge with the people in your direct influence. Number two is no tolerance for bullshit. That's me pounding my fist on the table. No tolerance for bullshit. Use your voice for good. Have that opportunity that saying, I will not stand for things that are not okay with me, and build in that value statement. And I think that Rinaldo was talking about the fact of doing it in the way that's effective or appropriate for your organization, being professional. On the flip side, have it be a no tolerance, especially if you are in the power to empower and you are one of those leaders that can make that influence or make that decision, that have that no tolerance there within, built into your policies. Number three is treat others how they want to be treated. Get to know people, get to know them, that what they would like to receive. Solicit the voices if you aren't hearing the voices. Help people become the best that they can possibly be. And, you know, definitely don't just always go back on the fact that I'm just treating them the way I thought it was best for me. We want to get to know people and give it to them exactly how they want it. And number four, be inclusive in your language, policy, and perspective. So often I think that people will put an inclusive policy in place, a diversity policy in place. They will think they have a diverse perspective or an inclusive perspective, but then the language that's coming out of their mouth can be very exclusive, or the way that they're acting in the organization create hierarchies that are unnecessary. So we want to be inclusive in all aspects of the organization all the way through. And number five, which is my favorite thing, and that's to love. It all comes down to love at the end of the day, that we want to build love with the people around you, love the people around you, and help others to love each other as well. That's your top five kick ass. So thank you again to Rinaldo for being here. We'd love to hear from you on any other topics that you'd like us to tackle here in the Strategic Hot Box. So share your thoughts with us on Twitter. So it's at BrandyLove, that's BrandiLuv, or Instagram at Strategic Hot Box or at BrandyLove. And you can email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com. So if you want any ongoing access to executive coaching tools, leadership development, exercises, worksheets, books, a community of people that are looking to kick some butt like me, Rinaldo, Ronaldo. We're all out there waiting for you to make some things happen at thestrategichotbox.com. And so many people have been asking for a jumpstart or way to get things going. And so we created something called the Detox. It's out there for you. It's free. Go click on it. Go download it. Go make it happen. It's for you. It's a tool there just for you. So just head on out to Strategic Hot Box and download it. But until next time, use your voice for good, spread love, and get out there and kick some ass.